RadioUSA.com.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We're talking local, state, national. We got all the stuff, man, all of it. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, listen, you may be tracking that yesterday afternoon after what they call Votorama, with a series of amendments being attempted by both Republicans and Democrats, the majority of which were all shot down. The Democrats successfully passed a $739 billion spending plan. Now, they call it the Inflation Reduction Act. Go figure. Totally partisan voting. In fact, it was 50-50 with Kamala Harris being able to then cast the tie-breaking vote to get the bill passing through the Senate. It now goes to the House. Well, if there's anybody who knows about fiscal policy in the House, it's Congressman Mo Brooks, who's been representing Alabama's 5th Congressional District now since 2011. He not only, by the way, is a fiscal hawk, a fiscal conservative in the House, but he is also has a degree with honors from Duke University in economics. So let's bring him on right now. Congressman Mo Brooks, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying my root beer float, being a lame duck congressman.
Well, there you go. Well, you can call it lame duck if you want to, but you still got some work to do, sir. And the first thing that's going to happen, I guess, in this coming week is Pelosi says she's bringing that that freaking Inflation Reduction Act bill to you. What do you think?
Well, I'll be voting no. The vote is expected to be on Friday. In my judgment, it undermines liberty and freedom, increases the expansion of the federal government, which means that the federal government is dictating more and more about what we can and cannot do in our daily lives. Some of this has to do with health care. Some of this bill has to do with energy consumption and what forms of energy-related devices we can use or not use. And it dips into almost all of our pockets in the form of higher taxes. Yeah. The Congress has a committee called the Joint Committee on Taxation. It is a bipartisan committee. It has examined this legislation and determined that net tax burdens will go up on average for everybody who has an income of $30,000 a year or more.
Wow.
And surprisingly, they also concluded that this bill increases the tax burdens for people who earn $0 to $10,000. So the only people who are not suffering from higher taxes, and for them it is primarily unchanged, are people who earn between $10,000 and $30,000 per year, which is not much of the American population.
Well, I look at this, and you know, there's so many nuances to this bill that I want to get into with you, and I hope we can cover some ground on it. But the first thing that I would say is there anything about your studies in economics when you were at Duke that tells you that tax increases during a recession are a good idea and will actually, you know, basically reduce inflation?
No, none whatsoever. Generally speaking, taxation is an economic depressant, because you're taking money from consumers and producers and giving it to the government. And so that has a depressing effect on economic activity. The producers have less capital with which to produce things, and the consumers have less money with which to buy things.
Yeah.
So that's the exact opposite of what you should be doing if your goal is to stimulate economic activity. On the inflation front, this legislation is also bad because it taxes the cost of producing things. And when you increase the cost of producing things, that in turn means that they must be sold at higher prices. And those higher prices, well, that's the definition of inflation.
It absolutely is. I mean, and I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, and I don't have your degree, but I think anybody with some semblance of fiscal understanding can recognize that what just happened was a travesty on the backs of the American people. But let me ask you about this part of it, though, Congressman. One of the things that to me is maybe perhaps the most deeply concerning is the amazing amount of growth they're going to put into the IRS, hiring 80-something thousand new IRS agents. I mean, to what extent is that going to wind up being a good idea, or are we going to watch the days of Lois Lerner look like, you know, a kiddie show?
Well, the estimate right now is 87,000 IRS agents will be added to the payroll, and their job is to pry into your private affairs. That is their job. Now, the hoped-for gain is that people will be forced to pay the taxes that they owe. So there is some positive associated with it. But when you start having 87,000 more IRS agents and the audits that go with it, well, each one of those audits is very expensive and time-consuming to Joe and Jane taxpayer, and in particular to businesses that now have yet another higher cost that they have to absorb, which in turn means they have to raise prices of their goods and services even more to offset the increased cost of these IRS audits and everything else these IRS agents are going to do to corporate and individual taxpayers. So it's another inflationary provision in the bill because it does drive up pricing. Somebody has to pay for those agents, that's the higher tax part of it.
Right.
And then somebody has to pay the cost to interact with those agents. That's another higher cost aspect to it. So that particular provision is a double whammy with its inflationary impact.
Not only that, Congressman, but I look at it when you compare, you know, apples and oranges here, but even still, there's a comparison worth noting, is that the military cannot meet its recruiting goals this year. The Army is just had to drop from 70,000 estimated milestone of recruitment down to 55,000. They're not sure they can make that, and yet they're going to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. That to me is a galling, displaced set of priorities.
Well, what is happening in the military is an entirely different, albeit to some degree related, set of issues. People who are patriotic, who love their country and are willing to fight and even die for their country, they do so for reasons. And those reasons are not to be in a woke environment where you are forced to adopt certain belief systems that you have fundamental disagreements with.
Right.
And when you are denying people their liberty and freedom to think as they believe best, particularly on moral values, then you're going to find that more and more of the people who used to be willing to volunteer to participate in our national security, they refuse to do so because they value their individual liberty and freedom more, and they do not like the direction that the military is taking us in their social experimentation. So this is a natural cascading adverse effect of what the Democrats are doing in Washington, D.C.
Well, it is, and like I said, it's a completely misplaced priorities. Now let me go back to the thing about the IRS agents being one of the key components of the bill that has generated a lot of, PR, good and bad. I'm hearing that one of the tactics trying to peel off some Democrats in the House vote is to really hit home what it's going to be like to see 87,000 more IRS agents on the streets. What are you predicting? How do you see this going? Is there any hope we could see this thing falter in the House?
Well, you never know for sure, but in the 3 years and 7 months that Nancy Pelosi has been in charge of the House of Representatives, going back to January of 2019, she has not lost a single substantive vote. The Democrats and the Socialists have not lost a single substantive vote. So I do not anticipate that they will lose this one, but you never really know until it happens.
Yeah. I mean, do you see the IRS piece being the biggest arguable piece to go after, or do you see something else that has better leverage?
Well, the 87,000 IRS agents is something that's got to be most troublesome to Democrats who want to win their reelections in November. So you would hope that they would respond to public opinion, but they have proven themselves do not care about that. They have their own socialist, anti-moral values agenda that they prosecute, even if it means risking or losing their own Senate or House seat. So give credit to the Democrats and that they are committed to their belief system, even to the point of risking a loss. And you saw that in 2009 and 2010 with the passage of socialized medicine, commonly known as Obamacare.
Yeah.
They knew that they were going to lose a lot of their House and Senate members. Eventually, they'd probably lose the House and the Senate, and they lost the House immediately. The Senate took a little bit longer before they lost it. But nonetheless, they persisted in pushing their ideology on the American people, and they were successful. They made their gains. Unfortunately, we do not have Republicans in the House or the Senate, at least not enough of them, who are willing to commit themselves to the belief systems that they advocate when they campaign. There's a big gap between what these candidates say when they campaign and then what they do in office as they try to protect the status that they believe they hold as congressmen and senators.
Well, I completely agree. And, I'm hopeful. And you can correct me on procedure. I mean, I know what it was in the state legislature. The bottom line is if a bill goes from one body of the legislative process to the other and gets amended at all, it then has to go to conference and be resolved. So do you see any amendments potentially getting tacked on in the House, and would that then slow the roll?
It is always a possibility, but my impression is that Nancy Pelosi has set aside one day for votes.
Yeah.
And that tells me she thinks from her whip count that she has the votes necessary to pass it as is.
Well, Congressman, listen, you got a week ahead of you, sir. Go ahead.
I said, we'll see.
Yeah.
With the votes on Friday, I'll be driving to Washington on Thursday, and hopefully I'll be driving home on Saturday, but you never know. We weren't even supposed to be in session this week. So a lot of people's schedules are being scrambled. There are probably a lot of congressmen overseas that will be voting proxy. I don't know how that will play out. A lot of congressmen will never have read the bill. Their staffs will never have read the bill. And that may be a factor, too. So there are a lot of uncertainties when you've got a massive bill being thrown at you last second without any hearings in the House of Representatives.
Well, you, by the way, before we go, you bring up a great point. So the House is still using proxy votes, which is a COVID holdover. In the Senate, they did away with their COVID protocols in order to get this vote through. But in the House, they're still allowed to be on vacation, sitting on the beach, sipping margaritas and vote from there, aren't they?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. All right, Congressman, we appreciate your time. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for being there. And listen, we'll keep our eyes on it and wish you the best.
Thank you, Phil. Anytime you want my insight, happy to share it.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. That was Congressman Mo Brooks, one of the more conservative members of Congress, a member of the Tea Party, the Freedom Caucus, degree in economics. I mean, he knows what he's seeing. He knows what's coming his way. He also knows he's completely outnumbered right now. And we're going to wait and see. But right now, Nancy Pelosi has scheduled this heinous spendorama bill for Friday. We'll talk about it a little bit more in detail when we come back from this break. Let's go ahead, Boomer, and do that. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. And then bottom of the hour, it's Boomer and the Birdman. And we're going to take a little bit of a different track. Part of it is they're going to be asking me questions. Oh, Lord, I have no idea what's coming. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Solutions is Alabama's